This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Taking the economic pulse.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We'll get a pretty important number in a few hours, gross domestic product, or GDP. It's basically like getting the test results back from the doctor. How's everything functioning? Economists predict last quarter, the economy grew at a rate below 3% for the first time in 3 years. Marketplace's Bob Moon now with the prognosis.
A slowdown in the rate of growth doesn't mean the economy isn't still expanding. It is at a respectable rate. So Commerce Bank economist Joel Naroff sees no cause for alarm.
We had been growing at a very rapid pace, a pace that was likely not to be sustained for very much longer anyway.
On the other hand, Mesirow Financial's Diane Swank says business expansion and higher profits are fueling the economy now, so it may take a while for most Americans to catch up again.
Expansions are kind of like fine wine. They get better with time, but it takes time for the riches of the expansion to really reach the masses.
And with no clear picture emerging just yet, Mark Zandi at MoodysEconomy.com expects the Federal Reserve to keep raising interest rates until policymakers are satisfied they've done enough to head off inflation.
They're almost there. I don't think it'll take too many more rate hikes to get there, but at least a couple.
Today's economic news notwithstanding, he says, another rate hike is likely when the Fed meets next week. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
No doubt Bill Gates has a smile on his face today. I mean, it's Friday. He's in beautiful Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. And his company just kicked tail in the last quarter. Microsoft saw a 5% jump in profits, beating Wall Street's predictions. By the way, in Davos today, Gates said American companies can beat down piracy in China and India, but it'll take a decade. This week, a so-called toxic ship was allowed to sail toward India. It's a French aircraft carrier loaded with tons of hazardous materials. But as Miranda Kennedy reports, there's a reason it's headed straight for India's shipyards.
It's not just India's low-paid call center workers who give the country an edge. India's low-paid shipyard laborers do their part, too. They break down the world's old ships with few environmental and safety protections, which gives India's scrap industry a competitive advantage. This is where the world's unwanted ships come when they can't fight anymore.
There's an unwillingness in the international market to forgo a portion of the profits in the interest of cleaning up their ships first.
Namrata Chaudhry with Greenpeace says the French warship on its way to India contains 500 tons of asbestos. She hopes India's Supreme Court will ban the ship from Indian waters and protect workers from having to handle its toxic cargo. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Of course, you've heard about the bird flu, but you better watch out for the black worm virus. It's a computer bug that experts worry is spreading. Instead of gumming up your computer, this nasty thing will actually delete files. The number of infected computers is unknown because the virus hibernates until February 3rd. Wall Street snapped out of its funk Thursday. The Dow closed up almost 100 points to 10,809. The S&P 500 gained 9 to 1,273. The Nasdaq climbed 22 points to 2,283. Today, oil is trading around $67 a barrel. You're listening to Marketplace. Director Steven Soderbergh gets a lot of press when his films come out. Movies like Aaron Brockovich, Ocean's 11, and Traffic have seen to that. Today, his new film, Bubble, debuts. But it's turning heads for another reason. Here's Rachel Dornhelm.
The movie is the first to hit theaters, pay-per-view cable, and DVD shelves all at the same time. Kendrick McDowell with the National Association of Theater Owners says Cineplexes aren't worried about the Soderbergh film, a small indie production. But if the approach spreads to blockbusters,
enough people would stay home and watch the DVD. And that decline in admissions would crush our industry.
Some directors are also protesting the idea of movies bypassing theaters. But industry researcher Tom Adams says ailing movie studios are desperate for a creative financial lift. Still, Adam says he doesn't expect this kind of simultaneous release to become mainstream anytime soon. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, helping nearly 3 million members achieve financial security and give back to their communities and congregations. Thrivent.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Data firm ChoicePoint has agreed to pay $15 million for last year's massive security breach. Identity thieves got a hold of thousands of people's personal information. The penalty could be a sign the government sees this crime getting out of hand. I bet you know someone who's been hit, or maybe you've been a victim yourself. I was recently. So was Eric Drew. He started his own ID theft prevention company, and he's going after corporate America.
I blame more our system, our financial institutions, the banks, the credit agencies, the people that are buying and selling our personal information for profit without our permission or consent, without any liability for what happens to that information or any repercussions that they have if something bad happens or if somebody takes that information and uses it against the victim or against the consumer. You know, if you look at my situation, until the banks realize they conspired to issue credit to a man that lived in a state I've never lived in, who lived in an address I've never lived at, who did not fit my description, and if they are held liable for it, we'll start realizing that this is something that they can stop. Right now, they're not motivated to.
I will say that in my case, I did find out about it because the credit card company called me, so perhaps the tide is changing a bit.
I would agree with you. I think that the banks are starting to realize that, hey, the fingers are pointing at us, not just the banks, but the insurance companies and the large marketing companies and the credit agencies are starting to realize, hey, we have a responsibility with this information. We are buying and selling people's information, which in my opinion is personal property. If they have information about me, why should I have to proactively go out and opt out of them using my information or selling it for profit? They should have to contact us and have us opt in.
We've all heard about the typical protections against ID theft, shredding, credit monitoring, and the like, but you say those aren't enough. Why?
Well, credit monitoring, let's take credit monitoring for example. Identity theft, the universe of identity theft, is much, much greater than credit card fraud. You have, when you think of identity theft as an impersonation crime, impersonation crimes can be anything from someone using your driver's license number to get out of a speeding ticket. Let's say you're a doctor or a lawyer, somebody or an engineer. Somebody could be using your professional license to open a practice and criminally do business in another part of the state or another part of the country even. Somebody could be using your bank accounts, wire transferring money, using your checkbooks, washing your checks. Credit monitoring is basically, it's something that I recommend or we recommend that people do, but only to the extent that you get a free credit report. Now, these agencies that are trying to sell you credit monitoring services and things like that, these are the same agencies that are buying and selling your information for profit. Why should we have to pay them for what should be our personal property? I think it's extortion, to be honest.
Eric Drew is founder of Knightsbridge Castle in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
To Americans, he's the maestro.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.